James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, do you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey there. Welcome to the Guy James Show. Thank you for joining us here today. We'll have 2 hours of entertaining, informative radio for you coming up. And we hope you'll be able to spend the entire 2 hours with us. I'm not going to give you any hoagy thing like all I need is 2 hours a day, every day crap like Mr. Hannity does. I did hear him say that. And no, I don't regularly listen to his program, but I did hear it a few weeks back. We are coming to you, by the way, from the Blue Waters and Sandy Beaches of beautiful Southwest Florida, Fort Myers, Naples area. And I see the official Guy James Show Yorkie puppies are in the room. Yes, they are. There's little Sophie and Kukla. Kukla, by the way, is Greek for doll. Yeah, it is. And they're roaming around in the studio here. We let them come in the building, out in the lobby there where they stay most of the time, and then come on up to the studio if they feel like it, as long as they're quiet. We are dog lovers around here, so... If you do hear a little chirp now and then, why, it'll be one of them barking at any intruders that may come to the door. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Like I said, kind of a interesting day. We're going to have a guest coming up pretty doggone soon here today at 3:15. Going to have Robert Weiss, attorney Robert Weiss. You'll remember we had Bob on, just a couple of months back, and he was talking about the chemicals in these baby bottles and sippy cups and all that sort of thing that causing problems for the children, and he's got a big update on that coming up. We'll just take a few minutes with that coming up at 3:15, and we'll let him tell you all about that just for a few moments. And we'll be talking about the S-CHIP program vote, of course. That's the big news today, I think. I can't think of anything bigger than that. As usual, the Bush won. He defeated the kids and their parents. He beat down millions of kids who needed insurance and won't get it now. And as usual, Bush and his Republic thugs came down on the side of the big insurance companies instead of the millions of kids who need the coverage. And a couple of Democrats joined him, by the way. Gene Taylor of Mississippi and Jim Marshall of Georgia. I will remember those names. Here we are in a situation where times are tough. There are millions of families that are struggling to make ends meet. People are losing their homes left and right. Foreclosures all over the place. Millions of parents going to bed at night and lying awake wondering how they're going to pay the terrible price of medical coverage for their kids. The kids get sick. They can't even take them to the doctor in some cases. They have no preventative medical program for most of these kids. Can't afford it. And all along, Junior Bush admitted that the CHIP program works. He knows full well that millions of kids now go without adequate health care because their families can't afford the outrageous price of health insurance. But he used the excuse of ideological problems with expanding the program because it might provide coverage to kids whose families might otherwise find a way to pay for private insurance. So dig in your pocket and fill the coffers of the private insurance companies so they can get even richer than they are today. Today's legislators in both parties really had to decide whether they stood with Junior Bush and in the defense of private insurance company profits, or if they stood with millions of kids and that were in need of health care. And this shouldn't have been a very difficult choice. And actually, it wasn't difficult for anyone voting. For anyone voting. Those without a conscience voted with Bush. And those who have compassion and maybe a little love for their fellow man and concern for the kids of this country voted with the kids. And Bush won. So it was not a hard choice for anybody that voted. Like I said, those without a conscience voted with Bush. What else would you expect? Compassionate conservatives, you know. Plus these two bastard Democrats, Gene Taylor and Jim Marshall. So when it comes to health care for everyone, I think we've got a good idea of who's on the side of the people and who's on the side of the massively profitable insurance companies in the health care industry. And we've got that to look forward to when a Democrat gets elected president and we decide to do something about health care for everybody. Believe me, the Repubs will dig in. Oh, will they dig in? You know what it boils down to is 156, I think I have my numbers right, 156 House members decided today that, I don't know if they decided it or not, but they proved that they were enemies of children and they were enemies of families by sustaining Bush's veto. It's a sad chapter in congressional history today is. I think it'll long be remembered. I heard John Kerry say, well, it's not over yet. I hope he's right. I hope it isn't over. But they used every procedural trick in the book. And well, coming down to the FISA thing, you know, that's been postponed till next week. These Republicans are crafty. Obviously, no parlamentary procedure much better than the Democrats do. They've used every procedural trick in the book to defeat the FISA thing, to defeat the Democrats on the FISA bill. But you know this S-CHIP thing. I've heard them say many times, let private enterprise take care of health care. Oh yeah, that's working out so very well, isn't it? Private enterprise and healthcare. The fact is, we don't have, and you've heard me say this many times, we don't have a healthcare system in this country. We do not have a healthcare system in this country. We've got a sick care system. That's exactly what we have. But we don't have a healthcare system. These Republicans complain about people spending on poor and the middle class. How about Bush and Cheney? Both of them very wealthy. Cheney especially massively wealthy. Getting public health care. How about most of the senators being rich and still taking the taxpayers' money for their insurance? How about that? Well, you see a guy that doesn't... they're entitled to that. They're our elected representatives. How do you go to the United States Senate or to the Vice President's mansion at the Naval Observatory there, or even in Junior Bush's case, worth millions of dollars. How do you justify going in there and taking public health care paid for by the public? How can you do that if you have a conscience? I can tell you this. If I had a lot of money and I was the President of the United States, I wouldn't take the salary. I wouldn't take the health care. Wouldn't you insist on paying for it yourself? Wouldn't you? Not these greedy bastards. Oh, no. And for my, you know, let's be fair about it. Not most of them. Not most of them. In other news coming up today, already, I think it's going to take place, tomorrow? Denny Hastert is going to resign, not even going to fill out his term. Mark my word, I don't think there's anything coming out about this, but I am going to predict that Denny Hastert is getting out, not just because he wants to end his congressional career. I'm saying that Denny Hastert is getting out while the getting is good because he sees a little storm coming on the horizon for himself. Yes, an involvement in the Duke Cunningham thing. That's my prediction. I'm not saying it's a fact. I'm just saying to you that it is my opinion that Denny Hastert will end up involved in the Duke Cunningham and that Wilkes mess and all of that, and that is why he's getting out of the House of Representatives right now. Just one man's opinion here. And I see Sam Brownback is dropping out of the race for president, sitting there with about 1% popularity right now. 1% won't get you very far today. And no prospect of getting any higher. Couldn't raise much money. Probably going to run for governor of Kansas in 2010 when his sentence is up. So that's probably what will happen there. Well, we're going to pause for a break, get our guest on the line, and we'll be right back.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year. And a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run with those scissors,
it's the least you can do.
He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land. Isn't he a bit like you and me? Nowhere man, please listen. You don't know
What do you think tribal sovereignty means in the 21st century? And how do we resolve conflicts between tribes and the federal and state government?
Yeah. Tribal sovereignty means that. It's sovereign. It's, you've been given sovereignty and you're viewed as a sovereign entity. And therefore, the relationship between the federal government and tribes is one between sovereign entities.
What are you, on dope?
We think so, too. Call Guy James now, 1-866-546-5254.
Just a moment. Sandy? Sandy? Hello? Guy? Okay, hold on. I'm going to put you on a conference call with Robert's assistant, okay? You were supposed to...
Hold this on. Is an impressive crowd, the haves and the have-mores. Some people call you the elite. I call you my base.
Oh, it's true. It's true.
Call Guy James now, 1-866-546-5254.
Well, there's nothing like live radio. We try and get our guest on today, and we get the front desk and said we'll be connected shortly, and we never are, so here we are. I apologize. I do apologize for that. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join the program today. 866-546-5254. Okay, you got that? And if you'd like to call in and comment on what we're talking about today, why, you're welcome to do so. All right. Hey, I do want to let everybody know, you've all read this thing about Verizon sharing your information with the government and so forth. And did you know they're about to share your information and put advertising on your cell phone and so forth? I'm a Verizon person myself. And they're about to dump a bunch of advertising on our cell phones for us. So if you want to opt out of that, I found a way today to get out of it. Shouldn't have to do this, but that's how it is. If you're on Verizon and you don't want the advertising on your cell phone that's coming up soon, why, give them a call, and it's an automatic thing, 800-333-9956. 800-333-9956. And that'll get you out of the Verizon advertising that they're going to come up with pretty soon on their cell phones. Pity that we have to even talk about that. Did you know that 82% of the American public wanted this S-CHIP bill passed today? 82%. And yet the Congress of the United States was able to look folks square in the eye and say, hey, tough. Don't care what you want. Do not care what you want. Other news taking place today, we had this story coming out. Now, I wonder if maybe one of you can enlighten me. I found out this at the last moment today before the show went on. But the FCC, and maybe I shouldn't even comment about it, but the FCC is now saying they want to allow companies to own TV stations and radio stations and newspapers in the same town. Excuse me, haven't they been doing that for years anyway? One I'm intimately... familiar with, in Columbus, Ohio, for example, the Columbus Dispatch newspaper, the WBNS-TV, WBNS-Radio, all owned by the Wolf family in that day. So I don't know what the story is there. But I guess maybe they've just been doing it for years and now they want to make it legal. I don't know. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello? Boy, we're having a good time with the phones today. All right. Anyway, like I said, nothing about live radio. Going to be one of those days. I can tell you, it's going to be one of those days. Well, let's try this again here. The phone's, the whole board's lit up right now. We have to let it go three times. Have to let the lights start blinking here. And when it stops blinking, then we'll answer it. And let's see what happens. Hello, this is Guy James. You're on the Guy James Show.
Yeah, hi, it's Robert Weiss. How are you?
Hi, Robert. Sorry, we had a little problem getting hold of you.
That's okay. I was at a different number.
Ah, okay.
Then I was supposed to be. Something came up, so it was my fault. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, the reason we asked you to come on today, we had you on the program, I don't know, maybe 3 months ago or so, talking about the synthetic estrogen in the plastics.
Right, the bisphenol,
Yeah, and what is it called? BPA? Is that what it's called?
BPA, yeah, bisphenol. And we've just had some news on that.
I see you've had a big victory on that.
Yeah, we had a huge victory. Basically, Arnold Schwarzenegger, the governor of California, was the first governor to sign into law a bill banning a related plasticizer, a very similar chemical, actually a group of chemicals called phthalates. So these phthalates are related to BPA, and they're used both for the same thing, to make the plastic monomer. The plastic is basically polyvinyl fluoride. It's a very hard, brittle material. So you need plasticizers like phthalates and like BPA to give it a lot of the properties that it doesn't break and it doesn't heat up too easily, it doesn't cool down too easily, things like that.
Well, now, that means that we're no longer going to have this in the plastics, and the kids are no longer. It's mostly kids we're talking about here.
Well, it is really, yeah. It's mostly kids, and it's been linked to everything from low sperm count in males to ADD, early onset of puberty in women, and it's mostly kids where we have the problem with these things. It doesn't go as far as I would have liked it to go, which was to also ban BPA, but based upon the movement that this is like political movements, you could look back from a historical perspective and say this is the turning point right here. It's possible that this may be the turning point in this fight right here.
Well, we hope so. And one of the questions I had for you that the governor of California has decided this, to be on your side on this. How are they going to police this? Since probably mostly, is this a ban on things that are produced in California, or are they going to be able to police them coming in from other places?
Well, they've got any retailer that sells this is violating the law. They can be cited, and they can also they're going to be subject to civil litigation. So, the last thing in the world a retailer wants to do is to sell a product that's been banned in the state. So, it's getting off the shelves in a jiffy.
What percentage of these products has this in it at the present time?
100%.
Wow.
It's not really 100%, but it's pretty close to 100%. There are bisphenol-free baby bottles. They're expensive and they're new and they don't have a lot of the same. It's not like the kind of thing that you can just drop and that never breaks, which was the reason for the plastic baby bottles with the bisphenol in them. So you can buy glass baby bottles in some instances still, and you can buy expensive bisphenol-free baby bottles, but every other baby bottle that I know of has these phthalates in them and has bisphenol. Bisphenol hasn't been banned. The phthalates have.
So you'll still be able to buy baby bottles in California. They'll just, is it going to take a while for them to get everything off the shelves, or?
Well, it's a public health issue. I would hope they get them off the shelves immediately, and, I'm a lawyer. And when when you're a hammer, everything kind of looks like a nail. So,
yeah.
If I were advising them, I would say get them off the shelves immediately. Otherwise, you're going to wind up incurring liability.
Well, sure. And aren't we faced with the same thing? I was doing a little research on this, and aren't we faced with the same thing on this that we were with the tobacco industry? That the industry itself is completely denying that there's any problem whatsoever.
That is, you are so right about that, and I'm glad you brought that up. And I want to say this at the outset: it's not like the worst people in the world all decide to go into the baby bottle industry. The baby bottle industry is relatively tame compared to, the tobacco industry that was always doing things wrong in the open, everything like that. This is as much of an indictment on the way business is done and the disconnect between the people making these decisions in these corporate boardrooms and meeting rooms and the rest of the country. You know, because it's not the worst people in the world who went into the baby bottle industry, but they've acted exactly like you say, exactly like the tobacco industry, causing everything that you do is somewhat related to your soul, and they've caused unimaginable suffering by denying very clear science, a very, very clear, and you see the scientists are like, crusaders, you know, they're people who search for the truth. They're the independent scientists who have come against these things. And you know, there was a very, very well-coordinated campaign against them to slander them and to marginalize them in their scientific communities. And they were threatened and everything. It's really bad stuff from the baby bottle companies.
Yeah. It all comes down to the money, doesn't it?
I suppose so, but, you know.
I have to tell you, you even since our last interview, you even changed my modified my behavior. I remember you telling the story about the main problem with these bottles, and correct me if I'm wrong, it comes from being heated.
Right,
that if
right.
they're kept cold, you really don't have a problem with this chemical.
Right.
And I think you mentioned that if you leave a bottle of warm water in the car and then drink it, you could.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I'm glad you stopped doing that.
I did. I did that all the time. And I still, you know, leave a bottle in the car now and then, and I'll go out and go, oh, no, wait a minute. I'm not drinking that anymore.
Yeah.
What's your give us your website on there, if you will, Bob.
www.rightsforamerica.com. The easiest way to get there is www.rightsforamerica.com, the number 4.com.
Rightsforamerica.com.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. I had a couple other things I wanted to ask you about this. Are you approaching Congress on this issue? Have you other than going to the states? Have you gone to the U.S. Congress on this and got anything going?
And you know, in Congress, the chemical industry is really powerful. I mean, we're not just talking
about
the bottle industry; it's the chemical industry. They're very, very powerful. They pretty much stymied us in Congress. And you know, California is a very it took a combination of a progressive state in terms of their health issues, on environmental issues. You know, California has got some very, very consumer and citizen-friendly laws.
Seems like they're always first.
Right, and they were first on this one. And it also took a lot of courage for Arnold Schwarzenegger to sign that bill, because you know, the interests against him are huge. I mean, you know, GM, the Saudi royal family, which now just purchased the plastics arm of General Electric. General Electric's plastic arm is now the Saudi royal family. Billions of dollars at stake. Powerful players.
Well, God knows the Saudis could use a few more bucks. it just seems like Arnold is. Yes, he's a Republican, but as an avowed Democrat and a liberal Democrat at that, I see Arnold as maybe not as conservative Republican as a lot of people might think that he is. Isn't it true that he's kind of like a more middle of the road than an actual Republican?
I don't follow him that closely, but I could tell you he was right on this one, and there was a little support amongst the Republicans for this one.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
this is a big black eye to a major industry.
Yeah.
And you know, they were successful at keeping this out of the states. 11 European countries have adopted the same ban California adopted, and the European Union.
Well, as usual, California leads the way. Robert, I want to thank you very much for letting us know and give us an update on that. Congratulations on your victory with this, and I hope it spreads throughout the country. It is an important issue that a lot of people don't know about. Again, it's rightsfor.com.
Rights for America.
Rightsforamerica.com. Robert Weiss, thank you so much for being on the show. I wanted to have him on today to talk about. We did have him on a while back to talk about these chemicals in these baby bottles. And you know, that's something a lot of us don't think about. Some of us anyway, are way past the baby bottle age, and even with grandkids, are past the baby bottle age. But you wonder how many things in our lives that we have used and so forth that have been detrimental to our health. you just do have to wonder how many things have we eaten, how many things have we drank, how many things have we done throughout. You know, I remember being brought up in a farm community and out in a rural area. We talk about everything that's detrimental to our health today. I mean, you city folks might not understand this, but back in the old days when I was just a young lad, there was usually an old hand pump out in the barnyard someplace, you know, one of those big old pumps sticking up out of the ground from the well that you'd have to give it a few pumps to get it going. And there was always just an old tin cup hanging there. Maybe some of you still have those, I don't know. But there was always just an old tin cup. And you know that tin cup never got inside the house with the in the kitchen sink with dish soap and all that. That just never happened. That old tin cup hung there on a wire on the pump, and it was like that in every barnyard that I know of. And doesn't seem like we got anything bad from it. I don't know for sure, but even that, and back in the days, you could just, I don't want to seem crude, but you could take a drink right out of the river a lot of the times. But that's before they were polluted with lots of things, fertilizers and so forth. And times have changed, that's for certain. Times have changed. 866-546-5254. We're going to take a break here in a moment, but I wanted to let you know today that I wanted to talk about a subject that I think is very important. And we better all decide that it's very important, and we better all decide that it's important very, very soon. Because there's something dreadful taking place right in front of our eyes. Some of you have realized it. Some of you have intimated to me that you've realized it and you see the signs. But the vast majority of Americans are going through their everyday lives with no conception of what is happening to this country. There's something very sinister going on in this country. And it is a plan, I believe. And it's something that's be deadly for our democracy. Let's put it that way. Absolutely deadly for our democracy. And I think we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will talk about it.
This is...
after we find this, the right button here anyway. Boy, we are having one of those days. Here we go. Song by Rena Boone, courtesy of Billy Shears.
Well, you've made this knot inside of me.
it to everything. Oh, whoa, your pull is strong. Thought my faith had gone, but it's wound around you. Just waiting for a break in the fog that we were floating in the midst of, was whispering I wanted to scream. I never did get over those dreams. I always wonder what it'd be like to know each other most of our lives. Please tell me that there's still time. Trying your patience when I said goodbye. Brian, you opened with stupid reasons why. You knew it was a lie.
From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own Sassy and Classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. To request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at billyshearsmusic.com. That's Erica with a K, and Shears, Shears. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. We'll be waiting for you this Saturday evening.
Oh, that's Billy Shears.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
He's Mr. Cool, isn't he? How many of you have met Billy? I have. He and his lovely wife. Fabulous people. You'll never find more engaging and genuine people in your life. And Billy's an East Coaster over there. And had the pleasure of meeting up with him in Washington, about a year ago, maybe, was it? And we had a lovely dinner together and spent most of the day together. And I must say, it was all my pleasure, most certainly. And I do appreciate having Billy as our music director here at the Guy James Show. I wanted to talk about something today not quite as pleasant as talking about our music director today. I wanted to talk about something that's very unpleasant. And what it is I wanted to speak about was creeping fascism. And all the right-wingers are going to go running and screaming and have their fingers in their ears and go, la, 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 I can't hear you. Or else they're going to say, there goes those crazy left-wingers again. But, you know, there's an old saying, and I don't know where it came from. I don't remember anymore. But I'm probably misquoting it, but it goes something like, people who shut their eyes to reality simply invite their own destruction. And that is exactly what's happening to our country today. It truly is. And I think most of the country has their eyes closed, has their fingers in their ears, and just not paying attention to what is happening. And I think we really are experiencing the old frog in the boiling water syndrome right now, and it is creeping fascism. And I don't think there's any question about it. The signals are just too clear. And I don't know how many of you have read Naomi Wolf's latest book. I have. And it is a... I don't think I have it sitting here. I've got it someplace else in the studio. Anyway, a fabulous book. And I don't think anybody's ever summed it up any better than she has. And I wanted to take a few minutes, probably until the top of the hour, and maybe a little bit after that today, after the news, to talk about this creeping fascism. And I think Naomi has hit it right on the head of things that any would-be dictator, things they must do and things they have done in the past to destroy a constitutional freedom. And it becomes abundantly clear when you take a good, hard, detached look from this whole thing. You go on the outside and start looking in at what's happening. That these things are taking place in this country. The same things that have taken place in Nazi Germany and other places around the world where petty dictators have taken over. And there seems to be 10 steps that Naomi talks about, and I couldn't agree more. But there seems to be 10 steps that always happen. And you can almost predict these. And we've seen for some time now some of these things happening in our very own country. And I think we're able to follow the progress about this. And I think we can anticipate what's coming next. And therefore, it is our fault and our fault alone. If we don't take care of this problem and push back hard, it's up to each and every one of us to save this democracy. It is true from Pinochet to Hitler to what's his name in Panama, that anybody that wants to be a dictator, there's certain steps they've got to take. And it seems like George Bush and his administration are just wading right into it. And the first thing that they do, and you can always count on these steps to be taken, the first thing that they do is invoke some sort of a terrifying internal and external enemy. And I guess you all know who that is. It's Al-Qaeda, of course. It's Islam. It's the Islamo-fascists. You hear it all day, every day on right-wing talk radio. Noriega. Thank you, Ray. Manuel Noriega. You hear this all day, every day, being parroted on right-wing talk radio. You hear it on Fox all the time. But the Islamo-fascism. Ah, yes. Al-Qaeda. Islamist. Sleeper cells. Yes. Make an outside enemy. Get an enemy that everybody can coalesce around. Everybody says, yes, this is our national enemy. We must all work together on this. This is the first thing any would-be dictator does. And it's happened here in this country. And you stop and think about some of the things they've done. And let's understand something. A lot of people hear you talking about fascism, and they think, well, we're going to run right into being Nazi Germany in 1939 or whatever. No. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works at all. Most of the time, when fascism works its way in and starts taking away the rights of the people, most of the time the courts are left in place. Most of the time, the parliament or Congress or whatever governing body is left in place. However, they are stripped of their power, and they do become puppets of the new dictator or his gang. That's how it happens. And life goes on. It does. They don't suddenly throw up barbed wire around all the borders and have people with machine guns standing on every corner. That's not how it works at all. It creeps very, very slowly. Very, very slowly. And can you see what I'm talking about? Can you understand what I'm talking about here? We have this national enemy now. And in Nazi Germany, it was communism. But those damn Russians are going to get us all. And then it became the Jews. National enemy. Everybody rally around the flag. The second thing any would-be dictator does is create a prison system of some kind, a gulag of some kind. We have Guantanamo. Throughout Europe, we have the CIA black sites, military tribunals. We have the Military Commissions Act. We have them suspending habeas corpus for a lot of folks. And these prisons are set up originally in the opening moments of these takeovers by the fascists. is to take care of these national enemies that we talk about, in our case, these Islamo-fascists and the Al-Qaeda. But sooner or later, the people that end up in those camps, in those gulags, in those prisons, are citizens of the country. People who dissent. People who don't like what they're seeing and have the nerve to speak out about it. One by one, they disappear and end up in these places. That's what happens. And now, we have our gulag, we have our Guantanamo, we have these black sites around Europe. We have torture. And I use Hitler as an example because we know more about that one than anything. Than the rest of them, because it happened so slowly. It happened right out in the open, and it's very well documented, and that's why we talk about it. We're not necessarily drawing any parallels to what happened then, what happened now, but I think you see where we're going with this. You know, in the opening days of that, people were still living their lives, and now and then a dissenter would be hauled off by hauled off to jail and interrogated and then tortured. And more and more and more of these people. Until it became common practice. And it became okay. That's what happened. And then they had the military tribunals. But life in Nazi Germany, it didn't the late 1920s or 1930s when Hitler was trying to take over, it didn't all of a sudden change one day, overnight. No. Ever so slowly. And if you would have suggested to the average German citizen at that time, these people weren't ogres, these people weren't horrible people, if you would have suggested to them at the time that this was going to happen, that this was happening right in front of their eyes, they would have laughed at you. Oh, what do you mean our government wouldn't do that? We're a civilized society. That would never happen in our government. No. Those are the answers you would get. I've talked to people that were there and lived through this. And they honestly didn't even understand for a long time what was happening to them. You know, first they came for the Jews. And the third thing that a would-be dictator usually tries to do is develop some sort of a paramilitary force. Sound familiar? Do we have all three of these steps so far? A paramilitary force. Can you say Blackwater? Blackwater? Security contractors who are absolutely immune right now from prosecution in Iraq, and the guy that runs the company saying he will not allow the Iraqi government to try any of his people. He's so above the law. These people that were on the streets of New Orleans, Blackwater, did you know that? Blackwater had people on the streets of New Orleans. Did you know that the President of the United States can declare a public emergency and call out Blackwater if he wants to come to your town? Did you know that? And this all happened, Hitler did that. They had their black shirts, their brown shirts, and Mussolini. And brown shirts in Italy, or the black shirts in Italy and the brown shirts in Germany, they roamed throughout the country, and they took the law into their own hands. They were a lawless organization, above the law, carrying out the desires of people who were up to no good. They were immune from prosecution. And a lot of people say, well, yes, we have to have Blackwater in Iraq. We have to have private contractors. We don't have enough. Did we have to have private security people, a private army in New Orleans? Did we have to have that? I think that's scary. So those are three things that usually get done by a would-be dictator. And number four is to set up an internal surveillance system to spy on your own citizens. Again, does this sound familiar? Spying on your own citizens? How many of you raised in the 50s and 60s and 70s, 50s and 60s particularly, how many of you would ever have thought that your own government would be monitoring your telephone calls, your email, your mail, your whereabouts? How many of you thought that would ever happen in this country? Maybe some of you had the foresight to see it, but I didn't. I have to tell you that when I was a young man, the idea of surveillance of citizens inside of our country was unthinkable. It's not unthinkable now, is it? Not at all. And so here we have internal surveillance. We have the Patriot Act. We have warrantless domestic wiretapping. We find out that our cell phone companies are turning over records. We found out that our internet companies are turning over records, even being paid for them, to the government so that they can spy on us. And once again, it all starts out under the guise of, well, we know we're hunting for the bad guys here. We're really not spying on you. Tell me when there's ever been any internal surveillance or spying going on in this country that there hadn't been abuse. Think back to Mr. One Tom DeLay when the Patriot Act got passed, to how he sicked the, Homeland Security on the people, on the legislators from Texas that left the state to avoid voting on something they didn't want to vote on. They went to Oklahoma and holed up in a hotel, and Tom DeLay! Sick the Homeland Security people on them. An abuse of power? Tell me there isn't an abuse of power every time that there's surveillance that goes on. Tell me that somewhere in the halls of power there aren't people just waiting to abuse surveillance powers. Of course there are. It's human nature. And it's a part of human nature that you just cannot trust. We're talking about ugliness of human nature here today. And the fifth thing that any would-be dictator does is to start harassing citizen groups. That is, to conduct surveillance on, in our case, let's see who they've done it to. They've done it to the animal rights groups. They've done it to the environmental groups. They've done it to anti-war groups. They've done it to lots of different activist groups. But start harassing them. It's happened in this country already. There's been a lot of harassment of citizens involved in any of those issues I just mentioned. So far, five things that a would-be dictator gets involved in, and pretty much in the order they do them. Invoke a terrifying internal and external enemy, the Islamo-fascist, check. Create a gulag or prison system, check. Develop a paramilitary force, Blackwater, check. Set up an internal surveillance act and system, the Patriot Act, warrantless domestic wiretapping, check. Harass citizens groups. That is, conducting surveillance on environmental and activist groups and animal rights groups and anti-war groups. Check. Folks, it's happening right in front of our eyes. It's happening right in front of our eyes. And, another one of those things Hitler said. How fortunate for the leaders that the masses do not think. How fortunate for the leaders that the masses do not think. Are they thinking right now? Is the American public thinking, going along with some of these things, of these five things I've just mentioned, and let it happen? Happened right in front of our eyes. Folks, the water in that pot, all those frogs are in, it's heating up. It's getting warmer and warmer and warmer. Number six, engage in arbitrary detention and release. Well, 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 we could talk a long time about this one. We could talk a long time about this one. How many of you have been detained at an airport? I have. And I think you know why. There is the no-fly list. There are many political activists on it. There are many authors on it. Anybody that said a whole lot that Bush doesn't like, that not necessarily a real high profile, they get on that list. And so, you know, to put the fear in you, they'll give you at a hard time at the airport, and they'll send the supervisor over to talk a little bit tough to you and think you might not get where you're going today, and if you say anything, you might end up in a whole lot of trouble. Almost dare you to say anything. Engage in arbitrary detention and release. Number seven on the list of things. And again, this is from Naomi Wolf's latest book, and this article here happened to be in The Guardian. It's a synopsis of her book, really. But number seven on the things a would-be dictator always does before they can get rid of the democracy is to target key individuals. Think about some of the individuals who have been targeted by this administration. Richard Clark, Ambassador Joe Wilson, Valerie Plame, Howard Dean, Sybil Edmonds. Yes, they target and ridicule people and try and silence them. And particularly the troubling ones right there are Richard Clark and Sybil Edmonds. Richard Clark, a man that served his country for a long time, honorable service. And all he did was come out and speak the truth. Sybil Edmonds, a woman that served her country, come out and speak the truth. I'm surprised they're still around. Ambassador Wilson, Valerie Plame, by the way, got a new book coming out next week. She's going to spill the beans about this whole mess that they caused for her. I look forward to that. We're going to try and get Valerie Plame on the show sometime in the future. She'll be real busy for a couple of weeks after that book comes out on her book tour. I was reading her schedule today. Number eight of the things a would-be dictator would like to do. And this one is oh so important, and I think they're making great strides on this one, is to control the press. Control the press. Anybody remember the criminal complaint against Greg Palast? Attacking Al Jazeera? Firing on unembedded reporters in Iraq? And of course we have Fox News, we have O'Reilly, we have Limbaugh, we have utter and complete control of the radio and gaining control all the time of the TV and newspapers, syndicated columnists overwhelmingly on the conservative side. So control the press. So our first seven things, and we'll talk more after the top of the hour, invoke a terrifying internal and external enemy we can all get behind, the Islamofascists, create a gulag, develop a paramilitary force, set up an internal surveillance system, harass the citizens group, engage in arbitrary detention and release, target individuals, and control the press. And we'll talk about the last two things when we come back from the news at the top of the hour. But folks, can you see this happening? Can you see this creeping in on our country? Can you see our rights gradually being taken away? Can you see the cameras being placed around the country like they have done in Great Britain for a long, long time? Can you not see evidence of every one of those things that I mentioned taking place? Well, you can if you've been observant, and I know you are. We'll talk more about it after the news at the top of the hour. You're listening to the Guy James Show here in the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. Former Pakistani Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto was greeted by tens of thousands of cheering supporters when she arrived in Karachi this morning. She left the country 8 years ago when General Musharraf seized power in a coup. Now Ms. Bhutto and General Musharraf are expected to govern together. Both Baghdad and the White House are asking Turkey for restraint in using military force against Kurdish separatists in northern Iraq. Turkey's parliament has approved a government request to allow troops to cross over the border. China has released a statement saying the United States, quote, gravely undermined, end quote, relations with Beijing by awarding the Dalai Lama the Congressional Gold Medal. The Dalai Lama said upon accepting the award, quote, where this has caused some tension in U.S.-China relations, I feel a sense of regret, end quote. At a White House press conference, President Bush cautioned an Iran armed with nuclear weapons could lead to World War III. The president also said he expects a briefing from Russian President Putin about the Moscow leader's recent trip to Tehran. In a hastily arranged meeting, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert has flown to Moscow to discuss Tehran's uranium enrichment program with President Putin. The general commanding NATO forces in Afghanistan says a shipment of high-tech weapons intercepted in September definitely came from Iran. President Bush's nominee for U.S. Attorney General, Michael Mukasey, is expected to win Senate confirmation. At least half a dozen states are reporting incidents of antibiotic-resistant staph infections. A number of the cases involve school athletes. Schools in Indiana, both Virginias, and North Carolina are sending students home and scrubbing down locker rooms and gyms. A 17-year-old died from the infection in Bedford County, Virginia. The bacteria is spread through skin-to-skin contact or by sharing an item with an infected person. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, Richard Roberts, the president of Oral Roberts University, has taken a leave of absence. He's been accused of using donors' money to support a wealthy lifestyle. The co-star of the most famous kissing scene in cinema, six-time Oscar nominee and star of From Here to Eternity, has died. Deborah Carr suffered from Parkinson's disease. She was 86. An 84-year-old two-time Pulitzer Prize winner, Norman Mailer, has been hospitalized in Manhattan. You're listening to QNN.
Are you one of so many people who wish they could wake up in the morning and look at the clock without fumbling for glasses first? I've got news for you. Your wish can come true. Most cases of nearsightedness, farsightedness, and astigmatism can be corrected by the laser procedure known as LASIK. Now, is this procedure without risk or guaranteed? No, but complications are extremely rare, and the outcomes are almost always positive. And if your results aren't exactly as expected, you can be retreated in most cases for no additional cost. You should be realistic about your expectations, though, especially if you're over 40, because unless you have what's called monovision, you will still need your glasses for reading. See your eye doctor about LASIK. I'm Dr. Nancy Eklund.
The preceding message on eye care by Dr. Nancy Eklund has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your eye doctor.
A new malaria vaccine is proving to be safe and highly effective in tests on African babies. The prototype RTSS has been in formulation for 20 years, and testing has cautiously been widening. A recent archaeological discovery in South Africa has found 164,000-year-old relics indicating a sophisticated culture occurred 100,000 years prior than scientists previously thought. The Federal Communications Commission might soon abolish the old rule that bars a company to own both a newspaper and a TV or radio station in the same market. The five FCC commissioners are said to be in agreement on relaxing the rule. Media conglomerates would achieve a big victory if the repeal goes through in the next 2 months. Washington Mutual, the nation's third largest mortgage lender, posted a 72% drop in quarterly profit. The nation's third largest bank, J.P. Morgan Chase, beat Wall Street expectations with a 2% increase. Bank of America's third quarter profit dropped 32%. Bank analysts blame bad loans to clients doing corporate takeovers. Jobless claims based on layoff notices shot up. For the first time since February, 28,000 workers filed for unemployment just last week. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is up 9.5 points at 13,902. The NASDAQ, 14,902. It is 13, and the NASDAQ up 4. S&P 500 off a fraction. Oil up to 88.25. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch!
Not the third!
show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I see you've all got a cold soda pop or beer or whatever, and getting ready for dinner no matter where you are. On the East Coast, it's 4:07 right now, so a little early for dinner. Hey, how you doing today? We've been talking a little bit about creeping fascism. We're going to continue talking about that for in a moment or two. Finish up our top 10 things that any would-be dictator tries to do. You know, in talking about the things that a would-be dictator tries to do before they, you know, completely take an iron-fisted control over the country, one of the things is to develop a paramilitary. Why can't I say that word today? Paramilitary. I've stumbled every time I've said it. Paramilitary force. And Blackwater is the prime example of what I'm talking about. There are others, of course, but Blackwater seems to be the biggest, and they're the ones that have got the big contracts in Iraq and in New Orleans. And you talk about an outfit that's just pretty much completely on their own, above the law, able to do any damn thing they want to, kill people at will, evidently, in Iraq. Even had an incident in New Orleans. But this statement from Eric Prince, the CEO of Blackwater, and let me quote him, this is out of the Mooney Times, the Washington Times newspaper, "We will not let our people be taken by the Iraqis," a defiant Blackwater chairman, Eric Prince, said yesterday. He will not allow Iraqi authorities to arrest his contractors and try them in Iraq's faulty justice system. "We will not let our people be taken by the Iraqis," Mr. Prince told editors and reporters at the Washington Times. At least 17 of 20 Blackwater guards being investigated for their roles in a September 16th shooting incident are still in a secure compound in Baghdad's Green Zone and carrying out limited duties. That's how worried they are, folks. Two or three others have been allowed by State Department to leave the country as part of their scheduled rotation out of Iraq and are expected to return. That's how ballsy they really are. In an ideal sense, if there was any wrongdoing, he says, there could be a trial brought in the Iraqi court system, but that would imply that there is a valid Iraqi court system where Westerners could get a fair trial. That is not the case right now, said Mr. Prince. Mr. Prince also expressed his disappointment that the State Department has not come to the company's defense, even though it has never lost a State Department client in years of protecting them. Well, what has that got to do with killing these Iraqis, whether or not they've lost a client? Yeah, they're good at what they do. Evidently, they're pretty damn good at killing Iraqis as well. So that's what I mean. I mean, here's an outfit that's been up until they've gotten all this press, and they really don't want this press, but up until this time, they've been operating lawlessly in Iraq, and to some extent in New Orleans when they had the contract there. And nobody said anything to them. Kind of a private paramilitary force, if you will. What else can you call them but a paramilitary force? That is what they are. Absolutely, that is what they are. Number nine on the list of things, and again, we're referring to Naomi Wolf's latest book, the 10 Things That Any Would-Be Dictator Would Do to Take Over a Country and to Get Rid of a Democracy and Take Your Rights Away from You. Number nine on the list is Dissent Equals Treason. Have you not heard that one? I know you have. How many radio commentators have accused Democrats and liberals and people that were dissenting against this government? How many of them have you heard accused of treason and espionage? I can think of Mark Levin not long ago, last year, at the height of their peak of them calling people traitors and treasonous, Melanie Morgan and Mark Levin and Limbaugh and Hannity, they all threw that word treason and traitor and espionage. They threw that word around a lot. Why? To intimidate people. That's what all of this is about. That's what all 10 of these things are about. To intimidate people, to get them to keep their mouths shut, and to go along with the program, no matter what the program is. Start calling anybody that says anything you don't like a traitor. And that's the problem the Democrats have right now in Congress. They're afraid of their nasty Republicans calling them names. Every society that starts closing up has done this. Every one. You remember, I'm sure, when Bill Keller, the publisher of the New York Times, ran the Risen story, Bush called the Times leaking of classified information disgraceful, while Republicans in Congress called for Keller to be charged with treason. That's right. Republicans in the Congress of the United States called for the publisher of the New York Times to be charged with treason. And the right-wing radio hacks, oh, they couldn't get enough of it. And they reminded you at every turn that one of the penalties for violating the Espionage Act was execution. ...1938 Moscow show trial accused the editor of Izvestia, Nikolai Bukharin, of treason. Bukharin was in fact executed. And it's also important to remind Americans that when the 1917 Espionage Act was last widely invoked during the infamous 1919 Palmer raids, leftist activists were arrested without warrants in sweeping roundups, kept in jail for up to 5 months, and beaten, starved, suffocated, tortured, and threatened with death, according to the historian Myra McPherson. After that, there wasn't a whole lot of dissent in America for at least a decade. In Stalin's Soviet Union, dissidents were enemies of the people. And here we have, in the United States now, we have the Congress passing this Military Commissions Act of 2006, giving the president, and particularly troubling, giving this president we have right now, a man with no good judgment whatsoever, a man that has not made a proper critical judgment of any kind since he's been the president of the United States. He's been wrong on every important issue. He's been dead wrong on every important issue. And they give this man the power to call any United States citizen an enemy combatant. He has the power to define what enemy combatant means. This guy. And this president can also delegate to anyone he chooses in the executive branch the right to define enemy combatant any way he or she wants, and then seize these people. And yes, one of the people in the executive branch is Dick Cheney. So here's what it boils down to. Even if you or I are American citizens, even if we turn out to be completely innocent of what they've accused us of doing, Bush or anybody else he deems appropriate in the executive branch has the power to have us seized at some airport, maybe tomorrow, or have them knock on your door, ship us off to a brig someplace, keep us in isolation for as long as they want to, awaiting trial. It's pretty effective. Now, all of us who are U.S. citizens will eventually get a trial. That's at least right now we'd still get a trial. But legal rights activists at the Center for Constitutional Rights say that the Bush administration is trying increasingly aggressively to find ways to get around giving even U.S. citizens fair trials. Enemy combatant is a status offense. It's not even something you have to have done. It can even be preventative, according to this administration. So even if they think you're going to do something, and you're a U.S. citizen, they can lock you up and keep you there for a long time. And the tenth thing that a would-be dictator does when trying to relieve you of your rights and your democracy is to suspend the rule of law. The John Warner Defense Authorization Act of 2007 gave the president new powers over the National Guard. This means that in a national emergency, which the president now has enhanced powers to declare, he can send, for example, Michigan's militia to enforce the state of emergency that he's declared in Oregon. And that's over the objections of the state's governor and its citizens. This happened while, and we mentioned many times, this happened while the press had the nation's attention turned on Anna Nicole Smith's baby, Britney Spears' meltdown. All this went on right in front of people's eyes, and nothing was done about it. So when you think back about it, and I know it's an ugly thought, and I know this whole subject is very ugly, and until I read Naomi's book and actually saw Naomi giving a speech about it, I hadn't thought about these things in order that they happened and just diagrammed so succinctly, so neatly that anybody could understand it and really point out that this is happening and we need to be aware of it. So let's just quickly give you this list one more time, maybe to those of you that turn in. The 10 things that any would-be dictator would use to destroy the constitutional freedoms of a country. Number one, invoke a terrifying internal and external enemy, the Islamo-fascist. That one's done. Create a gulag. That one's done. Develop a paramilitary force. That one's done. Set up an internal surveillance system. Done. The Patriot Act. Harass citizens group. Done. Engage in arbitrary detention and release. Absolutely done. Target key individuals. I gave examples of Sybil Edmonds and Richard Clark and Joe Wilson. Done. Control the press. Absolutely done. Tell everybody that dissent equals treason and then go out and enforce it. Done. And suspend the rule of law. The Defense Authorization Act of 2007. So there you go. There are the 10 things any tinhorn would-be dictator would do to relieve you of your rights. There's the 10 things that any dictator would do to subvert the Constitution of the United States and take over a country like ours and run it with an iron hand. And like I said, don't think for a moment that this happens overnight. Don't think for a minute that they start stringing barbed wire and putting armed guards on the street. That is not how it happens. They wouldn't get away with it if they did it that way. They do it quietly. They do it very quietly, but they do it relentlessly. And folks, you have to be able to see that all 10 things on that list, and I'm sorry that I have to bring that up, but all 10 of the things on that list have taken place or are taking place in this country today. And they've done so because of the junior George W. Bush administration and their penchant for absolute power for the executive branch of government. Bush yesterday once again showed his disdain for the United States Congress. They mean nothing to him. He thinks nothing of standing up and telling everybody in the country that they're meaningless. And believe me, he and the executive branch in this country, Alberto Gonzalez and Dick Cheney and the whole damn bunch of them, the whole cabal, has acted as if nobody in this country matters. The Supreme Court doesn't matter. The justice system doesn't matter. Nothing matters except what they say we need to do in this country. And if you can't realize that, if you can't see what's going on, if you can't see that it didn't necessarily happen during Reagan, that it didn't necessarily happen during Bush Daddy 1, but when this administration started, they started it right off and they have worked hard on it and they've been relentless with it. If you can't see that, you're blind. That is a trip down the trail toward fascism, if I've ever seen it. If they can get away with it, they will. If they can take all the power in this country, they will. That's the kind of people we're dealing with. And I'm sorry that I have to talk about a president of the United States that way, the vice president of the United States, and his administration. But I think you'd have to agree, if you take an honest look at what's going on in this country, those 10 things are taking place in this country, and they are the things that have taken place in past dictators' drive to relieve the citizens of their countries of their rights and take over and run their countries with an iron hand. 866-546-5254. Let's go to the phone. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is William in Hollywood.
Hi, William.
How are you doing?
Well, doing fine.
Trying to wade your way through the fascism, huh?
Yeah, kind of a downer subject today, but I think it's important to point some of these things out to people.
Well, it is. It is. It is important. I mean, you were talking earlier about you didn't see it coming, and you know, I don't think a lot of people did, but when you think back years ago, when they started putting cameras in stores, which was acceptable because you thought of theft, you know, people stealing things. But you bring it up to today, and one of the things that concerns me a lot, and I don't fly, but it seems almost like a testing ground to see just how much people will tolerate before they fight back and say, I've had enough of this. This is insanity. I'm paying for a plane ticket. I want to fly here. Why do I have to go through all this? It's not like someone's going to attack the United States again using airplanes.
Well, and it's not like that most of it's even worth anything. Did you see the report on the news the last couple of days that they found that 60% of they tried once again putting fake bombs through the security, and they got 60% of them through?
Yeah.
So what good is it?
It isn't. It isn't any good. That's why I allude to the fact that it seems like a test on the public. You know, another way of controlling people. You know, you put the fear in them enough. And I don't know what goes through people's minds in an airport, but I'm sure there's a lot of people sitting there thinking, what a waste of time. You know, it's an inconvenience, but yet they still put up with it, like with that liquid bomb scare that they had. that still stands today. You can only take so much liquid on a plane.
Oh, they do. 4 ounces is all you're allowed to take. And I got to tell you, the last time it happened to me, I'm not a person that's easily intimidated, and not at all. But I got to tell you, the last time it happened to me, it got to me. Definitely got to me. I was really wondering what was going on. And eventually I opened my mouth and got to be the smartass that I am. But for a while, I sat there and took it because they had me intimidated. They really did. And that's the idea.
Right. They want you to know that they have the power to do anything they want to do with you. And once they've got you in that situation, they've got the control.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, the last time I was on an airplane, I think it was in 1991, and I went to Florida from California, and they weren't, you know, the airport here in LAX was pretty much the same as it has been for years, but for some oddball reason, they singled me out, and they went over me with this wand and made me empty my pockets, and it was, you know, I felt like the center of attention, like everybody in the airport, because there was no terrorist attacks going on at the time, but I felt singled out.
Oh, sure.
You know? And I felt like the center of attention. It was a humiliating experience, the whole entire flight there. I couldn't wait to get off the plane because every time someone was looking at me, I felt like, what are they thinking about me? Because they don't know what their people are looking for. I didn't know.
And that's not the way you want to feel special.
No.
Not at all.
Not at all. You know, and I kind of, you know, I'm from the 60s generation. My hair was long and I had a guitar with me and, you know, it was embarrassing.
Why, you hippie, you. A guitar? Why, that's just a dead giveaway.
Yeah, it was a dead giveaway, but I thought everybody was looking at me like I was drugs is what came to my mind eventually.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, here's a guy carrying drugs in his guitar case on the plane. I took the guitar on the plane because I didn't want to throw it in the bag, and the stewardess was nice enough to put it in her compartment because it wouldn't fit anywhere else.
Mm, yeah.
But, I mean, that was the last time I was on a plane, but it's just...
It's a hassle. Thing's
been, yeah, and this thing now, I can't imagine what people go through. And personally, I wouldn't do it. I mean, I know people have to fly to a certain degree. But personally, you know, this is just my own perspective. If I had to fly for something and that was part of my life, I'd have to change it because I wouldn't be able to do it anymore. I would have to take a train or a bus or drive.
Well, there's a lot of people that won't. I know some people that won't fly under any circumstance. And it's not necessarily because they're afraid of flying. It's just because of that hassle you're talking about.
Exactly. I'm not afraid of flying per se. I mean, coming back, one of the planes made kind of a loud noise, like the landing gear snapped into place. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, is that going to come back out? You know, because I was sitting right over the wheels.
I told the story the last time I came back. I'm trying to think where I came home from recently. I think it was Washington. Anyway, we taxied out and then we came back and they worked on the plane for a while and we sat in the plane for I don't know how long, seemed like an eternity. And finally the pilot says, we're having trouble with one of the starters on the engine. And he said, and the word that got me was, he said, I think we have it fixed now. I think we have it fixed.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's enough of the head for the exit door before it launches, huh?
But I always figured, you know, if that guy's got guts enough to fly the thing, I'll go with him, you know?
Yeah, I've only been maybe three times on a plane in my life. That was three entire trips, and they weren't very far, you know, just from the west coast to the east coast. And the very first time, I'm sat on the window seat, and I happen to be over the wing, and I'm watching the wing flexing up and down.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell that against the body of the plane.
Yeah, they got a little give to them. They certainly do.
And there's this piece of tin, like a patch on there with rivets, and it's kind of a corner loose, and it's flapping up and down. I'm thinking, geez, you know, the whole thing, you know, I was my first experience on an aircraft, and I'm thinking, is this thing going to stay together?
Well, hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, what's with the patch on the wing, and why is the wing flexing up and down? Is that normal?
That's funny. That is funny. Well, hey, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you. And thanks for listening to the program.
Well, you're welcome, and thanks for having the program.
Yeah, thank you. Bye now.
Okay, bye.
Oh, yes, flying. You know, I love the whole experience of flying, all except for the damn security thing. Other than that, I love airports. I love the actual flying. I just absolutely do like it a lot. I enjoy the whole business. For some reason, I'm one of those creeps that really enjoys airports. I do. I don't know. There's just something fun about it. But I don't enjoy that security thing, particularly the last time. Oh, my. All right, we're going to pat you down now. Bend over there and all this and that. Yeah, that was interesting. That was very interesting. Hey, what do you think about the story about Randy Rhoads? Just to change the subject a little bit. First this week, we heard that she was savagely beaten. John Elliott said that she'd been savagely. And you know the thing I don't understand? I know John Elliott. And now, he's apologized for coming out saying that, said he surmised that's what happened to her. I can't. Knowing John, and I do, I can't imagine, and I'll mention this to him next time I see him, I can't imagine him coming on the air and saying that Randy had been savagely beaten and all that, when she had not. And now they're saying that, well, she was just walking her dog And now the New York Post puts a story in. Of course, you can't believe anything you read in the New York Post. Elo was saying that earlier on the chat room, and that's true. You might as well be reading it in the National Enquirer. But, saying, oh, she was out drinking, and they drank a whole bunch of, I don't know what kind of drinks they were talking about. But hard for me to believe that that went out over the air that she was savagely beaten and all that when it wasn't true. It really, it's very odd. I think it's very, very odd. 866-546-5254. Hey, did you hear Cliff May, Republican hack on the Hillary Clinton, about Hillary Clinton on the Tucker Carlson show? I know, I shouldn't even say that word, Tucker Carlson. But I got this little recording of what Cliff May said, and he is a hardcore right-wing hack. This is what he had to say about Hillary and ladies running for president. I don't think he even used the word lady.
I'm not a crook.
All these women in their 90s come to my events. And they come and they wait. Sometimes they're in walkers. Sometimes they're in wheelchairs, like a daughter or granddaughter bring them. And then when I'm going around shaking hands, they'll say something like, I'm 95 years old, and I was born before women could vote, and I want to live long enough to see a woman in the White House.
That was Hillary Clinton talking to women, the women who host ABC's The View, and the millions of American women, presumably, who watch that show. According to polls, Mrs. Clinton has widespread appeal to female voters, and if you talk to her campaign, it's women who are going to carry her to the nomination and eventually the White House. A memo from Chief Clinton strategist Mark Penn says that 94% of women under the age of 35 say they are more likely to vote next November if a woman, Hillary, is on the ballot. Can that be? And how much would it matter were it true? Here to tell us, the Washington Post, Eugene Robinson, and the president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Cliff May. Gene, this is an amazing statistic. 94% of women say they'd be more likely to vote if a woman were on the ballot. I think of all the times I voted for people just because they're male. You know, the ballot comes up, I'm like, wow, he's a dude. I think I'll vote for him. Look, we've got similar genitalia. He's getting my vote.
Look, you didn't have a choice all those times you were voting, right? You didn't have a choice of genitalia to vote for.
When I do, I don't want to vote for men because I'm a robot.
It's when firsts happen, they are significant. They say something about the society and how far it's come and where it is. And, not just that figure in that poll, but if you look at all the polls, really, that show her amazing strength among women. And you look at a state like South Carolina, my home state, where both in my paper, The Post, and in the New York Times over the weekend, there were stories about black women and how, in a sense, conflicted
that's an interesting
they
story,
feel about Obama versus Hillary Clinton.
Right,
and part of that, not all of that, certainly, but part of it is, He's African American. She's a woman.
But and part of it is loyalty to the Clintons, specifically the Clintons. Don't you think it's not just the female?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
I think that's an important point. Because if gender solidarity trumps all other interests, I think that's kind of sad. I don't think racial or religious solidarity should trump all interests either.
Do you think people who are voting on the basis of gender solidarity ought to be allowed to vote in a perfect world?
Of course,
they shouldn't be allowed to vote on those grounds. That's like, that's moronic. I'm sorry. I know I'm going to get bounced off the air for saying it, but it's true.
So that doesn't trump all other characteristics. There are a lot of women who are going to vote for Republicans in November because they're not conservative or whatever. Women shouldn't vote for Hillary at all.
I'm merely saying the obvious that you shouldn't vote for her because she's a woman. Here's what the Clinton campaign says. Hillary isn't running as a woman. As Hillary says, she's not running as a woman candidate. The only reason to vote for her is that you believe she's the most qualified to be president. Well, that's actually completely false, considering the Hillary campaign, and I get their emails, relentlessly pushes the glass ceiling argument.
At least you should vote for her
because she's a woman. They say that all the time. She just said that on The View. I mean, that's like their rationale.
At least call her a vaginal American as opposed to...
Is that the new phrase?
I think that is.
Boy, that's nasty. I don't think I can say that.
A vaginal American. That's the comment that Cliff May had. Here's a guy highly respected inside the Beltway in the Republican circles, Cliff May, saying that they ought to refer to Hillary Clinton as a vaginal American. Now, Cliff, I have a question for you, Cliff. As long as we want to get down in the mud and talk about Hillary Clinton in a disparaging manner that way, or making light of the situation of her being, you know, as long as you want to be that way, Cliff, why don't you tell us about your association with Fred Thompson's wife, huh, Cliff? Huh, Cliff? If I had you on my show, I would ask you about your relationship with Fred Thompson's now wife. Hmm? You want to tell us all about that, Cliff? There's a little food for thought for some of you. If you want to check things out, check out Cliff May's association, former association, with Fred Thompson's wife. If you want a little tidbit there for some gossip, check that one out, all right? Wow. Some nerve they have. You know, it's fascinating to me the way these people act. They cannot debate the issues. They will not debate the issues. What are the big issues right now? Oh, Hillary's laugh. Have you noticed how now it's Hillary's laugh? They're all making fun of the way Hillary Clinton laughs. What the hell has that got to do with anything? There's a lot of us that have strange, weird, funny, odd laughs. A lot of people. In fact, most people, I would say. But now a big topic of conversation, Hillary's laugh. And Hillary's cleavage. Oh, Hillary's trying to prove that she's a woman. She's got cleavage and she wore a look. Oh, my God. Oh, no, no, no. And John Edwards' haircut. And Dennis Kucinich's wife being taller than he is. And the Howard Dean scream. Remember that? They destroyed Howard Dean over an enthusiastic yell that he had at a political event. That is how low these people are willing to go, how far they're willing to go to use anything they possibly can to disparage the people on their side. Don't talk about the issues, because they cannot talk about the issues in a sane way. But let's make fun of Howard Scream, of Hillary's cleavage, of John Edwards' haircut, calling him the Breck girl, and Hillary's laugh. My God, are you that devoid of ideas? And let me answer that. Yes, they are. They are that devoid of ideas that's how they have to campaign. They are so devoid of ideas. Rudy Giuliani, the guy that's probably going to get the nod for their party. So devoid of ideas that I would challenge you to find me a speech where he doesn't talk about 9/11 incessantly in it. 9/11. Rudy 9/11 Giuliani. They cannot talk about issues. They can do fear-mongering. Very good at that. Very good at fear-mongering. Very good at arguing amongst themselves on who's the toughest and who's going to kill the most people over in the Middle East. They get high marks for that amongst their conservative friends. Speaking of killing people in the Middle East, that's some segue, isn't it? We got this report I have this report saying that the United States has now killed about 19,000, and according to our own figures, our Pentagon's figures, we've killed about 19,000 so-called militants in Iraq since the invasion, okay? Now get out your calculator, and I hope you've got a good calculator, because it's going to take a good one. 19,000 militants they say they've killed since the invasion. Now we've spent, by the end of this year, we'll spend $1 trillion on that war. Take 19,000 into a trillion, and what do you come up with? Is my math way off, or isn't that about $50 million per militant killed? $50 million. $50 million. We've lost about nearly 4,000 of our own people. About 30,000 of our own people have been injured. We've spent $1 trillion, which comes out to about $50 million. $50 million per militant that's been killed. And someone reminded me, isn't that the same amount we're offering as a reward if someone kills or captures Osama bin Laden for us? Does that make any sense? Has there ever been a war that we spent $50 million per enemy killed? My God. This doesn't make a lot of sense anymore, does it? Did it ever? I don't think it did. Wow. $50 million for every dead enemy. Who would have thunk it? Really? I'm going to pause for a break. We'll be back in a minute.
Say it soft. I don't like my language watered down. I don't like my agendas rounded up. I can't always wait for your circumstance to improve. You know, love is loose. It shifts each time you move. Go ahead, put my back against the wall. Give it all up. Don't give it to me yet. You know, you never know. This could be our last night. So step back into the light so I can see your silhouette. You know, I'm not done looking. Camera, give me your eye to eye. You know, I know all your secrets and you know all of mine. Mostly, I don't go for the soft focus and the fantasy. I need something real I can think and say and see. So I'm going to turn and walk away. You wait till I am far along. Then run and come and catch my arm and say you die if I were gone. Yes, I'm going away. You can watch me go, or you can make me stay.
Thank you. must be some way out of here. Say the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine. Plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. No reason to get excited. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now. The hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Hey, listen to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network, Billy Shears, music director. Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it very, very much. And thanks for all the correspondence from you folks. I do appreciate that as well. I'd like to thank Patrick from Germany for his donation to the program today. Thank you, Patrick, very, very much. Hope some of your cohorts here in the United States will join us soon. That's a little hint, folks. It is a listener-supported program. We hope you'll join in. Thank you, Patrick. Read an article today by one of my favorite guys, one of my favorite writers, Joe Connison. We've had Joe on the program before. And he's talking about this strange, and it is strange, double standard that's taking place in the United States Senate right now. And, of course, we've had our fun. And you certainly know I'm not shrinking from that. We've certainly had our fun with the Larry Craig situation. We've had our little songs and never plead guilty to a misdemeanor in Minnesota and all that. We've had a good time with it. But there's something terribly strange about the double standard that takes place in the United States Senate. Then from the Republicans, the Grand Ole Pervert Party. And I'd just like to read you, I don't know how many of you have seen this article, it's from Truthdig, and I'd like to read you this article and take me a couple of minutes from Joe Connison about the Senate's strange double standard by Joe Connison. For an object lesson in the distorted values of the United States Senate, consider how the august institution is handling the ethical embarrassments created by Republican Larry Craig of Idaho and Republican Ted Stevens of Alaska. As everyone in America knows by now, Craig pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor charge for an indiscretion in an airport men's room. Stevens, along with his son Ben and a number of other Alaska politicians and businessmen, is the subject of a corruption investigation that resulted in an FBI raid on his home last summer. Every day, the pressure mounts on Craig from his colleagues to resign. And every day, those same colleagues treat Stevens as if he remains above suspicion. The Craig case is currently under investigation by the Senate Ethics Committee, yet no such probe of the Stevens matter has commenced. According to the prevailing morality in the Senate, a legislator who may or may not have signaled his prurient interest in another man's demand demands the most searching scrutiny. But a legislator who quite plainly accepted financial favors from a contractor deserves none. Now, Craig's colleagues feel a special sense of outrage because he has violated his promise to resign by the end of September if he was unable to get his original guilty plea withdrawn. Clearly, the senator is given to rash gestures that he later regrets, whether tapping the toe of another man in a toilet stall, entering a plea, or vowing to surrender his Senate seat. I wish he would stick to his word, complained Senator John Ensign of Nevada, who chairs the National Republican Senate Committee and understandably does not relish the bad publicity that makes his task of reelecting Republicans much more challenging. And Senator Norm Coleman of Minnesota, a freshman Republican up for reelection next year, told reporters that he hoped the Idahoan would step down and respect the institution. But the institution is not so easy to respect when its members show so little of it by ignoring the stench that surrounds Stevens. The 83-year-old Alaskan, a powerhouse of patronage and seniority, has operated both his state and the Senate Appropriations Committee as fiefdoms that he can use and misuse at will. When his sponsorship of the infamous Bridge to Nowhere drew condemnation from conservatives and liberals alike as an example of egregious pork spending, Stevens gave a furious floor speech in which he threatened to resign. He stopped a sunlight provision designed to reveal the sponsorship of every earmark. Such egotistical displays must be expected from a politician who has the largest airport in his state named after him. A platoon of FBI agents has passed through that airport over the past several months as they probe bribery and corruption that appear to implicate dozens of figures from the State House to the oil industry. How bad is it? Bad enough that a group of Republican legislators, including the former Speaker of the Alaskan House, smugly calls themselves the Corrupt Bastards Club. Yes, that's true. These crooks transformed their state into an American version of a third world petroleum kleptocracy. At the center of a scandal is Bill Allen, a former oil services executive who pleaded guilty last May to bribery and extortion charges, and since then he's become a major prosecution witness in the probe. His sworn confessions include an accounting of the costly renovations made to one of Stevens' homes by his company, as well as other allegedly illegal favors provided to the senator and his son. The Alaska senator has scarcely deigned to address the Allen investigation, except to insist that he's done nothing wrong and he will be vindicated. His son Ben went further, complaining publicly about the prosecutors because they have come from out of state and are not from Alaska, and presumably also not loyal to the local political machine that has allowed corruption to flourish there. But no matter what Stevens or his son may say, the Justice Department, which has put Allen on the witness stand, must believe that the oil man is telling the truth about the favors he did for the senator. Those favors clearly violate Senate rules and are, by any measure, much worse than the toe-tapping indiscretions of Craig. When will the Senate restore its own tattered prestige by opening an ethics investigation of Stevens? Their failure to deal with his disgrace raises questions about their own probity and all the favors that he may have done for them in his powerful appropriations post. Article by Joe Connison. Yes, think about it. Embarrassing, Senator Craig? Of course. Immoral? Probably. Very embarrassing politically. Which is worse? A United States senator involved in huge payoffs in bribery, or a guy that got caught tapping another guy's toes in the restroom? Which is worse? In the grand scheme of things, which is worse? I know which is worse. And yet, and oh yes, 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 don't bring up this William Jefferson thing to me. William Jefferson, that's a problem with me. I think the Democrats should have found a way. Of course, they stripped him of all of his committees, and Craig has been stripped of his committee positions as well. They should have found a way a long time ago to disassociate themselves from William Jefferson, just as the Republicans should have found a way. They're always talking about how they always take the high road. Well, what about Stevens? Yes, you know how they talk about, well, we took care of Mark Foley right away. Mm-hmm. Oh, we took care of Mark Foley right away. Oh, they sure did all right. But see, if it's sexual in nature, oh, my God. Except if it's Vitters and it's somebody of the opposite sex, why, that's okay. That's okay. I mean, oh, we don't like it very much, but, you know, boys will be boys. And, yes, he's a United States senator, and he was caught with a prostitute. But it was a female prostitute, you see. So, you know, it's just these gay people we don't like. I mean, we don't want to say that out in public, but really that is what we're saying. We don't care for this gay stuff amongst the Republicans. You can have all the opposite sex whores you want, and we won't say a whole lot. Oh, yes, we'll say a little something publicly about how unfortunate that is and all thing. But when we have Senator Vitters over in our office, we'll slap him on the back and say, attaboy, Vitters, attaboy. That's the Republicans we're talking about. That's the real Republican Party we're talking about, isn't it? Of course it is. Of course it is. 866-546-5254. If you're going to call, you better hurry. We're down to the last moment or so. We got Mark Levine coming up at 5 o'clock, and he'll have a good show as always. I know he will. Mark's a good guy. If you haven't had the pleasure of meeting Mark, why, you should arrange that somehow. Call him. I don't know. But, yeah, he's a good guy, very engaging, very intelligent, very well connected around Washington, knows what he's talking about. I mean, there's a guy that when he's talking to you on the radio, he knows what he's talking about. He's not making it up. He's not giving you any BS. He's been there, done that, knows the story. So, hey, we got somebody on the line here. I don't know whether to take this call or not. I guess I will real quick. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. You got about 1 minute. Let's try it again. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. You got about 1 minute.
Hi, Guy. Phil in Daytona.
Hi, Phil.
Great show today. Glad you were talking about Naomi Wolf's new book and article and fascism. I did send a couple of things to your email. There's a website called Old American Century, and what it is, it covers fascism, what's been happening, and it exposes the project for a new American century, Cheney, Rumsfeld, the whole crew that has been bringing us fascism, and they're still in power, people. And as far as the upcoming presidential elections, it's already decided the torch will be passed to Hillary. And Giuliani is their fallback. And when I say they, I mean the people that run the government. And we really don't have a say in this, people. It's totally been taken from us. That's why we have to get involved and take it back. Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group, had Hillary Clinton there. They're the ones who decide who's going to be president. And so please get involved. Our country has already been taken from us. We are already in fascism, and they ain't going to give it back.
You know, Phil, I think if people had any idea how small the group of people is that controls this world, they'd be very, very surprised. It is literally a handful of people.
It is control this entire world. We got to wake up, and you know, there's 300 million of us, Guy. And we have the power if we use it. But damn, Nazi Germany is happening all over again. They were a well-educated
obvious.
People.
Hey, Phil, got to run.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks
for a great show, guys.
Thank you. Well, thanks for joining us here today on the Guy James Show. Always a pleasure to have all of you along. I do appreciate it very much. Appreciate your calls and your emails and your contributions to the show. Don't forget that. You're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Billy Sears, music director. And don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you, gang.